HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast. This is Tech for Change.
All systems stand by to transmit. Now.
Hey, this is Kay, and that's how I introduce myself on my morning show at 94.3 Radio 1, which I host and produce. Welcome to my podcast. This is Tech for Change. Very often, technology is used for good things and sometimes for bad things as well. So much so that flux between the two causes people to lose faith in technology. This podcast is aimed at changing all of that. I'm going to introduce you to some wonderful people, companies, and industries who are using technology for social good, social change, and a positive impact. All of this, of course, to make this world a better place using technology. Tune in every week on hdsmartcast.com and listen to the podcast. HD Smartcast is India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Let's get straight to this week's episode. Water has and always looks like it will be a problem for this country, whether we admit it or not. Today's an interesting little segment because when we're doing Tech for Change today, we're kind of focusing on how technology can solve the water problem largely in our country, but more specifically in the state of Karnataka and then Bengaluru as well. Joining me to actually break down that conversation is co-founder of Uruvu Labs. They're a Bangalore-based water tech startup that's founded in 2019. Swapnil Srivastava is actually with us. Hi Swapnil, how are you?
Hi Kay, I'm good, doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Listen, what I find really cool is that you guys have developed a technology that is 100% renewable, basically uses moisture from the environment and renewable energy to actually create drinking water. So, I don't know, scary, but can I ask you, would this be like tomorrow, like a 100% necessity in our cities at the rate that we are going?
Yeah. So, you know, you bring a very important point out. So, you know, when we started looking at it, we saw that, you know, water scarcity has been rising, you know, many, many parts of the world. And especially Bangalore is actually destined to be one of the cities which could face a day zero problem where, you know, our water utility almost stops. That is a bit scary, but we also feel that our solution could be, you know, one of the portfolio of the solutions.
Sure.
There's no silver bullet to it.
Yeah.
But we can, you know, hope to contribute in the best possible way.
I think we're a population of a little more than 1.38, 1.4 billion. And we're the second most populated country in the world. And around only 6% of our population has, you know, actually 6% of our population lack access to safe water. Those are some crazy stats that I was kind of looking at. I want to kind of get to, you know, where you guys kind of started at Uruvu Labs to set up something like this. Largely, can we just start with one thing? What is the product that we are referring to right now that does this conversion that we just kind of spoke about into clean drinking water? Talk to me about that a little bit.
So what we have come up with is a system which uses inexhaustible moisture from the air. And by utilizing a desiccant material, so desiccant is a water vapor loving material which absorbs this moisture. And then we heat it up using renewable energy. So primarily we use solar heat, which, you know, heats up this desiccant to about 70, 80 degrees Celsius. And then these desiccants release the water vapor, which was earlier absorbed. And then we use to, we filter it and add minerals to it to make it potable drinking water.
Right.
So this whole system, you know, works passively only using renewable energy, gives you very high quality drinking water on site. So you don't need, you know, groundwater source. You don't need a pipeline infrastructure. So it's a zero waste, zero carbon solution for high quality drinking water.
Lovely. How big are we talking, Swapnil? You know, for me to understand, like, let's say, for example, I'm sitting here right now. Would it fit on my lap? Is it bigger than that? Like, how big is this? Just help me understand that.
Sure. So one of our first products will be a 20 liters per day unit.
Huh.
20 liters per day is sufficient for, you know, family of 4 to 5 for drinking and cooking needs. So that will be occupying around 4 meter by 2 meter in footprint. Around 8 square meters,
right?
Or, you know, it also translates to around 80 square feet.
You guys also do have a much larger one that is for a community that can generate, I think, 1,000 liters, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. So we are, you know, yet to reach that scale, but once we have that kind of unit, it's a scalable technology. So we are targeting even, you know, hundreds of thousands of liters per day, which could also address industrial use cases.
You got together with some awesome people, and your co-founders are Pardeep, Venkatesh and Govinda, and then you guys decided that this is something that we want to do. But I'm sure there's always a story of where it started from. Tell me that.
So back in 2016, me and Venkatesh, we are studying at NIT Calicut, National Institute of Technology Calicut in Kerala. And we face, you know, about a month or two of severe water shortage in our campus. So there's a river nearby which used to supply water, and that river goes dry. And groundwater is not something where, you know, Kerala's topography doesn't really store a lot of groundwater. So a lot of this rain just goes away to the sea. So we don't have, you know, good groundwater access also. One bucket of water every day. And with some more better solutions, because Kerala being a very humid place, there's a lot of moisture in there. So, you know, we started thinking, why can't we just, you know, tap into this? So that was, you know, one point of the story. And then we started, you know, like visiting many, many places in India. We visited places in Gujarat, in Rajasthan. So what we saw is, you know, there are many, many small hamlets of, you know, 4 to 5 or 10 families, but they have to travel many, many kilometers, and they won't have water, good quality water, and they won't even have good energy access. So we thought of, you know, there could be an off-grid solution which solves their drinking water accessibility problem. This all, you know, like we started then working on this technology, then all the founders came in together. I contacted some professors in the Ministry of Science. And then that's how I connected to my co-founder, Pradeep. And then through a mutual friend, Balaji joined us. So we all came together and we thought this was, you know, big problem. And there's also a technology innovation, which is also inspiring. You know, the water sector has also been lacking that, you know, like people have not really looked into it. We need, you know, good minds, brilliant people looking at the problem.
Yeah.
So we thought an inspiring solution could be you know, game changer for the whole
industry. I actually want to focus on what you just said, which is really beautiful. You're talking about the inspiration factor, of course, for a lot of people out there. Generally, when young entrepreneurs approach a problem, right, typically, how do I say this? There's no glamour factor in you know, solving a water problem, which is why maybe a lot of other entrepreneurs might not do it. But I'm a firm believer that sometimes the most unglamorous things are probably the, you know, ones that make all the difference, in my opinion, of course. So for the young entrepreneurs out there, I'm sure they're curious as to, say, for example, venturing into a segment that, you know, deals with helping out a social cause, like a problem of water scarcity. If you don't mind me asking, I mean, is that you started this in 2019? So is this profitable yet? Is this still moving forward? Like, is this this thing? I'm also looking at this from a perspective of giving hope to a lot of other young entrepreneurs out there, to saying that, hey, it is possible.
Sure, sure. You know, as you rightly pointed out, it's quite unglamorous. Even if you speak today to many of people involved in the water industry, you know, no one will get out of their seat and say, you know, this is the best thing I'm doing in my life. but we take a very different approach in the way that, you know, when 2016 we started it, we knew this is something, you know, which is a very crucial problem. And even, you know, 5 years back, no one really paid attention to us, or, you know, never really heeded, okay, that this is something which might become such a big problem just in 10 years or so.
Yeah.
But then from the last couple of years, we are seeing the winds changing. You know, like now climate change is a big topic. Sustainable solutions are a big topic. Renewable energy has shown us that, you know, it's possible that you supply clean energy at that also at scale and at affordable prices. So the whole concept of bringing a renewable water solution was, you know, to bridge that gap which is there in the market where there is no existing renewable water solutions, and do it at scale and much more affordable. So that's where Urovu comes in. And we see that, you know, like there is glamour in solving big problems. And especially if you see Gen Z, that new generation which is coming up, they are quite conscious, you know, from the early ages that we have to do more positive things for the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's becoming glamorous.
It's becoming glamorous for sure. But also, and what I'm getting is that you guys are able to sustain monetarily. It's not like it's not a problem where you guys are like, oh God, we've just drained all our money, like, you know, the water in Bengaluru. So it's working out. It's working out is what I can say. Yes?
Yeah. So, so that also, you know, there are stages to it. So what happens is any new kind of solution that comes in. So just take solar, for example. 10 years back, it was much more costlier than electricity you're getting at home.
So true.
So even with our solution right now at 20 liters per day, we'll be, you know, at say around 6 rupees per liter. So that is much costlier than, you know, say you use a reverse osmosis and take water from ground, you'll get that water as at 1 to 1.5 rupees per liter. But then, you know, you're wasting a lot of water. There is carbon footprint associated to it. And plus, you know, reverse osmosis kind of solutions also need a lot of maintenance, filtration, these kind of things keep happening. And particularly for a city like Bangalore, if you go to, you know, Sarjapur, Banerghatta Road, Devanahalli, these are places where even at 500 to 1,000 feet borewell depths, you're not able to find good quality water.
Right.
So it's becoming, you know, quite a big problem. And not just in cities like Bangalore or developing countries like India, even developed nations like US, California is suffering from a three-year long drought. 2 years back, Cape Town had a similar problem. So it's not a, you know, a developing country problem anymore. It's hitting all kinds of people in all ways, like how coronavirus did. It brought that equitability to, you know, what kind of population gets exposed to what kind of problem.
I kind of also want to go in the direction of the technology behind the same, which we didn't discuss. You know, building the technology for the same. For your first product was AquaPanel, of course. You know, and now you have a much more refined product for sure. What were some of the speed bumps that you guys kind of faced while trying to build a solution like this? How did you overcome it? And by that logic, could you also talk to us, you know, about the large widespread problem in Bangalore that not many people kind of know about when it comes to water?
So when we started, you know, like right out of NIT Calicut, we first went to adopting this conventional technology. Conventional technology utilizes like an air conditioning kind of solution. And there are, you know, more than 99% of the companies in this water from air space are doing that. So what they do is they take a very cold surface, pass air over it, and, you know, moisture will condense. So suppose you take a very chilled bottle of beer, you'll see water droplets on the outside. So that's just, you know, normal condensation process. That's very power intensive. And, you know, it also doesn't really perform very efficiently when your moisture content is less in the air.
Okay.
So we switched to a, you know, a different technology which uses desiccants to first absorb the moisture. And then we use energy to heat it up. So initially we had made a very crude prototype where, you know, this desiccant material was integrated into a panel kind of thing and solar energy was directly heating it. But then we faced, you know, problems with scalability.
Okay.
We saw that suppose you want make more water, you have to, you know, just keep on duplicating these units, which is not necessarily quite cost efficient. So we, you know, we changed the technology stack in the way that now a desiccant unit is separate from the energy unit. And both these are connected only by a heat transfer fluid, which facilitates, this process overall. So now the beauty of that is now suppose you want more water. What we do is instead of, you know, duplicating things, we make a custom desiccant unit, which can give you 2000 liters of water. So instead of, you know, say we make a 20 liters and then do 100 units of that, we make a single shipping container, which can make 2000 liters of water. And, you know, that brings in our scalability, reduces our cost. So it reflects on the cost of water also reducing further.
Right. Okay. Awesome.
Sure. And then continuing with that, what happens is now we are not just limited to solar. We can also address some other use cases, like in industries, there is waste heat.
You
know, so waste heat is usually coming from this process, boilers and all that. So that could be plugged into a device. Then we can also use biomass waste. You know, some places, say in rural areas or islands, might have biomass waste as a form of energy. So now that can also be used. So we started with solar, but now we have become, you know, energy agnostic and as well as scalable and 100% renewable. This has implications on, you know, water problems in Bangalore.
The problems that we have in, you know, in Bangalore, how is our city probably, if you would say, unique to this region as compared to other ones around the country? Talk to me about some of the problems that we have, that we face at large.
Sure. So if you look at whole of India as such also, like, you know, a lot of India still depends on groundwater. Around 85% of our drinking water needs come from groundwater. And Bangalore also, except from, you know, where the BWSSB is able to provide drinking water via this pipe infrastructure, all the areas which are on the fringes, you know, you take North Bangalore, many places, Hebbal, in South Bangalore, you take Banerghatta, Sarjapur, and towards the east, you can take even Whitefield and areas beyond that. This pipe infrastructure doesn't reach there. So, you know, the conventional solution is just dig a borewell and start drawing water from.
Okay.
And Bangalore is also famous for these water mafias, you know, water tanker mafias. So all these places where you don't have, in summer months, you know, groundwater is also failing, borewell is not working out. So you will have these water tankers running around and they will supply you water at, you know, much, much higher cost. So Bangalore is one of the cities where we have, I would say, most number of these water tankers roaming around. apart from Noida and, you know, the Delhi region.
Right.
So these two cities are top in terms of what is water map. Even if it rains a lot in Bangalore,
right,
it's still a big problem.
Can I probably close out our conversation by asking you with regards to future, let's just say 5 years, what do you see for the water situation in Bengaluru, in India? How are things going to change, in your opinion? I'd love your thoughts.
So, you know, water, one is definitely government is taking many, many steps. You know, they are coming up with newer schemes.
Yeah.
And they're also trying to support new technologies in this field.
Mm.
What I see in next 5 years is, you know, we'll definitely be more water-wise.
Mm.
May not be, you know, very much, but there'll be still, because of the challenges we face, this necessity will drive us to, you know, adopt newer solutions, maybe waste less, much less water. Plus also, there'll be, you know, organizations like industrial corporates, as well as, you know, bigger organizations, which will drive this change more than the domestic players.
Right.
Because, you know, their water consumption is a lot more, plus it directly affects their business. So if there's a, you know, beverage company who is not able to draw water, it affects their assets, it affects their brand value, and, you know, it affects their overall business.
Interesting.
So I think industries and corporates will be the major drivers of newer technologies. Secondly, would definitely be, you know, more activities in the upstream level, which is the agriculture industry.
All right.
So, you know, water conservation during agriculture activities will again drive more efficiency and sustainability in this.
I hope you're right, man. This has been a really insightful chat into the water situation and how tech has been actually is being designed to solve that problem. I wish you guys all the very best, man, because if you succeed, I mean, and I'm sure you will, they just mean so much good for the whole of society. So I wish you all the very best, Swapnil, and your entire team. Thanks so much for speaking to us, and thank you for being on this edition of Tech for Change.
Sure. It was great speaking to you, Kay.
Thank you so much for listening to this little episode of Tech for Change. You can find me, your host, Kay, on Instagram. I'm probably the most active there, @OffAirWithKay. That is Off Air With K-A-Y. I'm going to be back next week for another episode of Tech for Change. And if you'd like to give us feedback, well, you as a listener can reach out to us on @HTSmartcast on multiple platforms. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. Now, to listen to more podcasts, make sure you log on to www.htsmartcast.com. I'll see you soon. Take care.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.